Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above for the week ahead, the week of the full moon, the week of Mercury going direct. We have some interesting things going on for the week, so sit back. Tie yourself down. No. It's not going to be that bad. It is an interesting week, however. The full moon, to me, this one, seems like it is more powerful, maybe more impactful than some of the other moons that we have experienced over the last couple of months, even including the full moon lunar eclipse that occurred on March 25th, right? Full moons typically make us look at what is needing to be released. Or what is it that's coming to light in terms of where we've been in the dark, perhaps, and now where it is that with the light is shining so that we can move forward. And also at that point in time, kind of show us what it is that we need to release in order to move forward. So I find this particular moon extraordinarily impactful because it is in a configuration with the planet Pluto that sort of infers some sort of transformation, a death rebirth process that all of us will be going through in some ways, not literal death necessarily, but some kind of transitional phase that we're going through. And right, all of the aspects, all of the transits lately have really been focused in and on change, right? There's nobody, I think, living right now that hasn't been changed by some factor, whether inside of them or outside of them, since we started this year, actually maybe since we started this decade back in 2020. It's been that impactful. And when we get a moon, such as this one that's upcoming, it can be very much a sign that it's really time to move forward, right? And to let go of all of the things in the past. So today we're going to talk about where the moon is at this minute. And then we're going to talk about the full moon and all of the different things that the full moon can bring to us. So for example, the moon itself in the sign it's in, what does a full moon mean when it's in a T-square challenge to the planet Pluto, and how do we balance that and work that out? And then as well, we're going to take a look at the human design aspect of that full moon. It's across the 28 and the 27, or more appropriately, the 27 and the 28, sun in the 27, earth and moon both in the 28. That brings us to some form of culmination as well, because we've been dealing with the earth moving through all of the gates of the spleen center in your human design, which, as we talk about frequently, can also double as gates of fear or paralysis points. So we're moving through a lot of the changes that way. And then as well, we'll look at the Sabian symbol. And I think if we have some time today, if you are someone out there who is feeling challenged right now, maybe we could take a look at your chart. If I have your information, we can look at your chart and see where is this release happening. So, okay, let's start with where we are today. By the way, good morning, J-Lo, Christine, and Chester's mom. I'm not seeing anybody coming in from Facebook, so hold on. I am in a battle royale at this moment with Facebook, it appears, and not one of my own doing. I think I was hacked somehow on Facebook, and in some ways, it's holding me back from being able to do anything. I see the show is there. Can I see myself? I see myself broadcasting. Okay, so I take that back. Facebook isn't messing with me this morning. Oh, and there's Joan Durchy. Good. She's on Facebook. Good morning to you, Joan. All right, so let's start with where we are right this minute. Today we are in the moon in Libra. So we're being asked right now to balance and harmonize the various components of our lives in some way, especially related to relationships or anything Venus ruled, as Venus is the natural ruler of Libra. So balance and harmonizing our values, perhaps our ideas of self-worth or worthiness, our relationships, all types, the contracts and agreements that we might have gotten ourselves engaged in and the rightness of them or not. And then if not right contracts or agreements, then renegotiation, right? Negotiating new agreements. You know, I think the one thing that we sometimes miss is that if we're in an agreement with someone and we are not prospering through it, and I don't mean that in a monetary sense, but it's not working for us on a level that makes us feel good, we're really hesitant to renegotiate the contract. So this would suggest it's time to take a look at all those relationships and all those agreements that you are a part of and ask yourself, is there something I want to change about this? Because when you're in the shadow of what will be the full moon of the next sign, Scorpio, which offers us up a huge opportunity for transformation, you don't want to waste your time staying stuck in the old, right? There's no point. It's much better, more effective that we look at everything in our lives that we want to change and then change it, or at least start the process of that change. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Remember, the moon in Libra is also a moon of harmonizing, right? So I already said that word once, but I mean harmonizing as in trying to, you know, harmonizing and balance. Let's talk about that for a second, because I think there is no point in our lives where everything comes into a perfect harmony or a perfect balance, or at least not for long, right? Because the nature of the world that we're in, duality, Earth, is all about having to move through the ups and the downs, right? So we can bring things into a harmony, or we can try to bring things into balance. But as soon as we do, something is sure to come along that upsets that balance. And Libra shows us the need to try to keep a balance or a harmony. But we also have to recognize it is not static. It is flexible. It is movable. It is always in a process of trying to reestablish homeostasis, which means balance and harmony. So Libra takes us on this journey of looking at, well, what, you know, can we somehow neutralize the big swings in the pendulum, right? Can we somehow bring things into some form of closer harmony or closer balance? It's never going to be a perfect balance, and it's never going to stay that way. Right? You might bring it into, you know, notice that, you know, if with my hands moving, if we are passing through a part where it is in perfect balance, but soon it moves on to either above the baseline or below the baseline. So that's how life is, right? We can try to harmonize and we can try to balance, but sometimes we have to recognize that the best we can do is bring the swing of ups and downs into more of a balance and a harmony. So there's that. Now, unique to this transit of the moon through Libra is the fact that today at 4:25 p.m. my time, so 7:25 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast, the moon will move into the void. And that will last until 8:21 a.m. Tuesday morning, West Coast time, when the moon moves into Scorpio. So we have a fairly long void of course moon that usually brings stagnancy or a little bit of inability to move things forward. But because it's happening from later in the workday or even into the evening, if you're on the East Coast, later than that, even if you're over there in Europe, then this one isn't as impactful because it's going through the night when we're mostly sleeping and emerging back out into the new sign, new energy at 8:21 West Coast time tomorrow. For those of you on the East Coast, that'll be more like 11:21 a.m. your time. So a little bit of the workday still wobbling around, but primarily the most of the day leading to the full moon will be activated and able to, you know, take some action, move forward somewhat. And then we line up for the moon, the full moon in Scorpio. So, you know, Scorpio is a sign of transformation, of intensity, of passion, of desire, of deep introspection. It is a very powerful sign that's engaged in the transformational process, always moving, you know, through the transformation. Rebirth, regeneration is another good word that we can think of. And it is a sign that's ruled by the planets Mars and Pluto. So two very powerful planets co-rule the sign, Mars being the more traditional ruler of Scorpio and Pluto being the more modern ruler of Scorpio. So we have two planets, one of dynamic motion, right? Action, assertion, right? Moving forward. And the other one, first of all, Mars also is a catalyst. Pluto taking us on that regenerative sort of transformational journey. So you see then with this kind of transit or this kind of full moon that there are plenty of opportunities for us to move ahead. Now, when you look at the dynamics of this full moon, the full moon itself is in a T-square. So the full moon represents an opposition between the sun in Taurus and the moon in Scorpio, both of them in a 90-degree relationship to the planet Pluto, i.e. one of the rulers of Scorpio. So we have a very jacked up, empowered full moon, right? The potential here for change is tremendous. And I just can't say that enough, right? Because it's very powerful. And when we look at the planetary signature of this, it's a T-square, which in astrology, a T-square is very powerful as well. So I'm going to break these things down here for you so we get the idea of what it means to have the sun in Scorpio, the moon in Scorpio, the sun in Taurus, and this T-square to Pluto. But before we go there, I want to talk about a little bit about the full moon itself, because most of us tend to think of the full moon as an ending, perhaps. I'd rather use the word culmination, right? It might be bringing things to an end, but it's, you know, through a culmination of things, right? Since the last full moon, which happened to have been a lunar eclipse, what has been eclipsed in your life, meaning what has been brought to an end, what has taken more importance on in your life, what things have you decided to set aside and not worry about anymore or not play with or even deal with, right? So think about those things first, right? What things since that last full moon are coming to this point where it can either be an ending, it can be a transformation, but note that ending can also lead to a new beginning. Now here's why. We typically think of the new moon as the new beginning, as the intention setting moon, right? That's where we set the intention for what it is that we want, and we put that out there into the world and we move forward with that. But the full moon is only 2 weeks away from that point, right? The new moon was just 2 weeks ago when we get to tomorrow. And so it's not a true ending as so much as it is. I mean, it's more of an aha or an awakening point where we suddenly realize what it is that we need to let go of in order to keep moving forward with the new moon intentions. So yes, it represents culmination. Yes, it can represent things coming into fullness or to completion, but it's more because in order to keep moving forward with our new moon, we have to let something go to do that. So the full moon offers us up these opportunities to choose what we want to do as we move forward. And that can come through revelation, that aha, epiphany moment, through the challenges that might be laid down to us by that moon at that point in time. And I would expect this one to be kind of challenging, emotionally challenging, because it's in Scorpio and because it's square, that moon is squaring Pluto. as well as the sun squaring Pluto. So we have a very powerful potential here for some emotional release, or to take a look at the emotions behind something that's happening in our lives and take a look at how we want to let that go. Or in some cases, you know, we still have the North Node at gate 51, the gate of shock. So some of us will still be experiencing things through the energy of shock, or of an awakening, or an initiation of sorts. So advice I could give you as to moving into this energy would be to be open to looking very clearly at all the things that are going on in your life and being willing to let them go, or to, in some cases, regenerate something through transformation, through letting go. So the full moon does offer us sometimes a path to a new beginning. Even though it's not the new moon, it can show us where the blockages are. Like suddenly the light is so bright, and this one is not eclipsed, so we have the full light of this moon to be able to see where the challenges are, or to see where the missteps have taken place. And then to be able to use the energy of the square from the moon to Pluto to make those changes. Now, this isn't just personally. This is also on a societal level, right? These things are happening in society that make us really take notice, right? There's a lot of things I could point to in the outer world that are causing us to really rethink where we are, and to rethink about what happens next. Now, this period of time with this full moon could really highlight the area of your life that needs change, and where you have to let go of old patterns, right? That's the beauty and the power of it being in a T-square to Pluto, right? We really get to see where it is that we need to make change. And each of you, by the way, might experience this differently. Some of you might experience it in a more potent way. Some of you may not experience it very powerfully at all. It really depends on the imprint of your own personal chart. And we are going to take a look at a couple of people's charts today, just because I think it's a good idea to really take a look, if we can, in real life at what might be happening in some people's lives. And I see a couple of you already have told me it's okay to share that information. So Christine and J-Lo will be taking a look at it. And by the way, let me just say real quick, tomorrow is J-Lo's birthday. Happy birthday to you, J-Lo, as well as Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, two of our favorite fans here. So happy birthday to the two of you, and wishing you both a most wonderful, pleasant new year, because it's your new year, okay? So maybe everybody can just take a moment and wish both of them happy birthday. Okay, so full moons are traditionally associated with culmination and closure, and that means this full moon can also mark a sort of significant turning point in your life that encourages us to purge. Scorpio is a purging sign. And what we're purging might be emotional baggage, physical baggage, things, too many things, right, in your world. It might be changes that you need to make in your relationships. And most of all, embracing a new beginning. All right. Now I want to show you this chart. Let me see if I can go into presentation mode here, share my screen. And here we go. Now, don't mind my scribbles over here. These are my notes in the morning that I take. But I wanted to show you the dynamics in this chart. So I've outlined here in green what a T-square looks like, right? So here's what a T-square looks like. Here's the sun over here in Taurus. Here's the moon over here in Scorpio, and they are both in a 90-degree angle or relationship to Pluto down here in Aquarius, and that leaves an empty space up here in Leo. So I want to break this down just a titch, because sometimes when I start talking aspects to people, their eyes roll back in their heads because they don't know what I'm talking about. Or they don't understand it. And I really want you to understand how a T-square works, because it's so powerful. So first of all, a T-square always implies tension and challenge. So as soon as you hear any astrologer say T-square, or if you're looking at your own chart and you notice a T-square, it is always about tension and challenge. It's kind of dynamic in this because the planets involved are conflicting with one another, as here, the sun and the moon are conflicting. And by opposition, it's an implied challenge, right? Because the moon represents our emotional energy. The sun represents our ego energy. And sometimes they are moving all the time in a full moon. They are moving in opposite directions, right? The sun in this case looking for practical, grounded stability. The moon over here kind of dusting up the emotional sphere, taking us through the transformation process of things that are in the way of our being stable and secure, looking at the reasons why we think we need to be stable and secure, all kinds of things here. So the polarity between these two is finding a focal point here at Pluto, right? And the conflict between the two energies is intensified because of the square, right? So the moon, sun, full moon energy is intensified because they're both pointing down here to the planet Pluto. All right. So within the T-square, there's always a focal point or a planet that serves as the focal point. And it's not really associated with the opposition of the other two, but instead it forms a square to the other two planets. And the area of life where this point is where you would feel it most intensely. So for example, if this chart, if this is the chart of the day, right? I drew this chart at seven. Well, this is East Coast time. This is actually the full moon chart itself, which, by the way, the full moon happens tomorrow morning or tomorrow evening, 7:50 p.m. for Washington, D.C., so East Coast time, 4:50 p.m. if you are on the West Coast, and all the times in between if you are one of the other time zones. So it is tomorrow evening to expect the most intense of this energy. So the area of life that is associated with the apex planet or the focal point planet, which in this case is Pluto, is where you find the biggest challenge. If this chart were a person, it would be in the fourth house. See, here's the number of the houses up here around the center. This pie slice then is all the fourth house. So in this person's life, the opposition between the personal expression of who they are and the who they are within relationship is finding its focal point in home, in family, in stability, in security, in setting a foundation or dropping roots, or even in the divine feminine energy of mother and nurturing, as the fourth house often represents mother. So that's how we would read there, the point where this opposition can find settlement and change, settlement through change, is going to be at the point here in the fourth house, creating home, right? Finding a stable, something that can balance the ego energies and the personal ego energies of the first house. So the planet involved then with the T-square in the house that it is occupying in your birth chart is where you're going to see the tension and challenge kind of being pushed out or pushed through. And of course, a T-square isn't, it's not inherently negative. Like this isn't like negative, like let me beat you down some. Might feel like that sometimes though. It is actually providing an opportunity for growth and self-awareness and transformation in our lives. The tension and the challenges that are presented to us through the T-square can motivate us to really confront the obstacles and make changes and develop resilience, develop new plans, a new approach, right? A new way of doing something. And resolving the T-square can often involve ways to constructively integrate what's known, while balancing the energies of what's not known, right? Of what's possible, of what is it that I could do better, or where could I, you know, try something different than I've ever done before. Now, there is also a pathway to resolution in a T-square that isn't at once obvious in looking at the pattern here, and that is the empty space on the opposite side. It can offer up a glimpse into what it is that you can incorporate into this T-square that isn't very obvious, right? So there's this blank spot. And the blank spot in this particular T-square happens at 4 degrees of Leo, because Leo is opposite of Aquarius. And the opposition is happening at 4 degrees. So I just said 4 degrees, but really Pluto's at 2. So you can go anywhere from 2 to 4 degrees here of Leo. If you happen to have a planet sitting there in your natal chart, that planet can help you bring some balance and harmony. And as you see in this chart, really it's empty space. And even though the MC is sitting at 10 degrees, it's not a planet, so it doesn't really help or hinder, but it can show us in the empty space of Leo here that the need to bring some self-expression into it. So to really understand what it is that you're after, what is it that's driving you forward? What is it that makes you happy? And bringing that creativity into, in this case, the 10th house of career and profession. So the balancing point here in this whole configuration T-square in just this chart, which happens to be the chart of the full moon, so it does have a sort of collective influence, is how we balance work and home. Balancing work and home. And how we often don't do such a good job of that, right? We can sometimes be overly focused on the work aspect, and we leave home sitting in the dust, right? And at other times, but not as often, I guarantee you, we can be overly focused on home and think of career last or profession last. Neither's right nor wrong. So don't get me, you know, don't think I'm suggesting one is better than the other, because we want balance and harmony, right? That's what a T-square is looking for. Right? It's looking for some kind of stability while making changes. All right, I'm going to stop sharing for a second, go back to here and see how everybody's doing with that. So TD Hawk, good morning. Cheryl Yamamoto, happy to see you with us this morning. Asa, nice to see you with us. And everybody's wishing J-Lo and Debbie happy birthday. Chester's mom says, my dog pal Chester is a very sensitive Scorpio. Woohoo! Right? Scorpio animals, they're very loyal, right? Loyal animals. Okay, how's everybody doing with these concepts I've just brought up? The T-square, the full moon, the point of the T-square being at Pluto. Are you guys doing okay with that? Let me know if you have questions. Now I want to look at the human design aspect of this full moon. Because it's a pretty powerful place that we find the moon in the human design template as well. And the transiting full moon is sitting at the gate 28, which in human design is called the gate of struggle, or at least in traditional human design. In quantum human design, we call this the gate of adventure or challenge. Underneath this gate is a fear of meaninglessness in life. And really that translates into a fear of death. Right? Death and dying. Having come to this planet and lived through all of this and then dying, and what did it all mean? Right? It's all meaningless. Or the fear is it's all meaningless. And it brings this specific energy of seeking meaning into the moon, right? Into the full moon. And it also happens to be Earth sitting here. So Earth and the moon are aligned in a full moon. And the sun is at the gate 27 in this aspect. And the gate 27 is called the gate of nourishment in traditional human design and the gate of accountability in quantum human design. And we'll talk about what that means. So remember that full moons are a potent time, bringing things into a culmination, into a completion, into revelation, offering up a new beginning by releasing blocks and restrictions and limitations that have come up since the new moon. And there's heightened emotions around this time. And it often brings the things to the surface that we didn't really recognize were there before, or that we just didn't want to look at. Sometimes we're just like, la, 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 don't show that to me. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. So bringing the revealing, let's say, the hidden truths and intensifying our experiences and our emotions. So when we have the full moon at the gate 28, which is the gate of struggle, what do you think gets to be amplified somewhat at this time? Challenge, struggle. As we say in human design, we are as humans designed to struggle, but suffering is optional. So I'm not saying that this is a time where you're going to suffer, right? That's just not true. I wish we didn't even have that word to describe energies like this. But it is a time that we might have an association with the obstacles in our way, the difficulties that we are having in order to grow and to evolve. But with the gate 28, we're drawn to experiences that sort of push us, push the boundaries. Sometimes this is the gate of the daredevil, right? The person that's doing things just to feel alive and to feel like there's some meaning in their lives. But it is a time where we are pushed out of our comfort zones, right? Pushing us out of the comfort zone. So when the full moon is aligned with the gate 28 struggle, it can signify a time where the challenges to grow through overcoming obstacles is uppermost in our mind or most obvious to us. And they may be particularly pronounced emotionally because the sign involved, of course, is Scorpio. You might have to confront areas of your life where you feel blocked or where you feel challenged to be who you want to be. So we're being encouraged to face those challenges head on and acknowledge them as opportunities, not to let them keep you down, but to let you go, okay, I see you and I'm going to learn, I'm going to transform, and I'm going to move forward. So this energy, however, is an intense energy. In human design, we have gates that we call, red flag gates. 28 is a red flag gate. So we have a full moon, the moon part of that sitting at a red flag gate. It's interesting, right? And remember this, both the sun and the moon in this are pointing at Pluto. And Pluto is at the gate 41. And the gate 41 is about imagination. It is about being able to view the future in the context of fantasy, perhaps, or in the imagination as a preparation for taking action, right? As a preparation for taking those next steps. So we're involving the opposition point here to be able to point at Pluto in the gate 41 that says, what can you imagine? If you can imagine it, you can make it real. But to make it real, it has to move out of imagination and into reality so that you can take those steps. All right. I hope that makes sense. Let's see. During this time, courage, determination are all qualities that build resilience in us. It is the human spirit's resilience in the face of obstacles that makes us so successful as a species. Right? Because we have this ability to keep going even in the face of challenge, right? We don't give up very easily, right? So overall, the full moon in the 28 and the sun being in the 27 is an invitation to embrace the things that need to be changed in your life, face those obstacles, and look at them as opportunities for growth, for a way to evolve. This is consciousness evolution that we're here on the planet for. So evolve your consciousness. Turn your or trust your ability to overcome adversity and emerge stronger on the other side. trust yourself, right, in all of this. Okay. There seems like I'm forgetting something here in all of that. Well, while I'm thinking about that, let's take a look and see if there are questions. Christine Azola says, OMG, I have the whole channel, the 2728, the 2838 or the 2750. That's what it was. I need to look at the gate 27 in all of this. The gate 27 sits on the sacral center. It is a gate that is called nourishment in traditional human design, but I like that because it is a gate where we find we need to be accountable for our own health and well-being, for taking care of ourselves. So when we look at the 27 in the context of the channel it's a part of, it's a part of the 50 to the 27 in this past week, or yeah, I think even right now through the 21st. Nope. So we are already in the gate 27 and 28. But last week, the sun would have been sitting at the gate, or the earth would have been sitting at the gate 50, kind of showing us where we might fear failing in our obligations to others, right? Or in our responsibilities to our families, our communities, what have you, our tribe. And that can press us to do more. Well, the 27 says, you should never be pressed to do more for others, but instead help others become accountable to help themselves, right? So on one hand, we have smother mothering. We went through that with the earth last week. And this week we're looking at, okay, but how do I teach others? This is a teaching gate by far and away, a teaching gate at 27 that teaches others how to become accountable for themselves, how to be responsible adults, how to take care, right? How to feed themselves, clothe themselves, take care of themselves, cook, all the self-care things come out through the gate 27. So the sun is showing us that. And the high side of the gate 28, the struggle, which the struggle is real, but the high side of the struggle is that we move through that struggle and by taking care of ourselves, seeing to our own coat closets, right? Making sure that we're taking care of our own stuff, right? Not projecting it onto other people, not expecting that other people will come to our rescue, but taking care of ourselves innovatively, creatively, and in a way that suggests we have become accountable for our own well-being. Okay. In other words, don't give too much away. And on the other hand, don't hold back, right? Take care of you while you're taking care of others. And Christine says it's the 2838. That whole channel is called the channel of the fight or the fighter. It is about finding the right thing to fight for in this lifetime, to stand up for in this lifetime. Another way to say that is choosing your battles wisely, right? Your struggle, Christine, is all about bringing the right evolution to the world through your own unique contribution, right? Your own uniqueness, not somebody else's idea of who you are, but your own uniqueness, thinking ahead to what is really the right way for you to show up. What is the right thing for you to struggle with? So that's being highlighted in some way. The struggle end is being highlighted in this full moon. And then it would force you to take a look then at the gate 41, which you may or may not have defined in your own natal chart, but will be defined right now by Pluto. And what can you imagine as a release for that struggle, right? How can you imagine yourself moving beyond the fight and the struggle into, or using the fight and the struggle in a powerful and progressive sort of way? I hope that makes sense to you. Hawk says, oh yeah, no more la 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 for me. Origin family stuff has become glaringly obvious that you can't ignore it anymore. Add to ramp up my courage for that and have been moving forward with my own life again. Good for you, Hawk. And accountable for themselves. My abusive mom, I am letting go and caring for myself again, like I did when I first left at a very young age, right? This became obvious in my life during the past couple of months as I've been going back and forth trying to help my brother-in-law take care of my sister. And, you know, it's a like 300-mile drive for me to get there. And I realized I was kind of letting my whole business slip away while I was focused on this other energy or this other need. And I realized that somehow I was going to have to bring a more balanced energy to that. Right. As soon as I say this, I know it's going to sound horrible, but I am not accountable for her care, except to say that I care about her and I care about him and I want to help where I can, but I can't be, they have to be accountable for their own choices and their own decisions as I have to be accountable for my own. And that becomes glaringly obvious at a transit like this of where have I stepped into somebody else's doo-doo rather than taking care of my own stuff, right? So we got to bring it into balance. J-Lo, 24, 27, 28, 41, and percent zero. Oh, I don't know what that is. All little tickles I have. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of tickles going on in all of our charts right now. Christine Buckingham has North Node Scorpio 28, mind, and 28 Scorpio Neptune design side. So you sort of have a spiritual challenge here, Christine. Anytime we're looking at Neptune, it's more, Chiron would be more the challenge. Neptune is more your spiritual job to learn through struggle. And then through your moving through struggle, you become a sort of experiential role model for others. It's not specific role model, but others will see how you've handled the experiences, the experiment of life through struggle. And you know, in some ways you help them avoid the same pitfalls, that kind of thing. And what was the other thing that you said? North Node, a destiny of struggle, right? Finding meaning through adventure, seeing life as, you know, instead turn the challenges into adventures so that you can move forward. All right. Anything else down here? You're welcome, Christine. Okay, so let me see. Was there anything else I wanted to talk about before I go back? We talked about the 28. We talked about the full moon. We talked about the 27. Okay, I think we've talked about everything. So now I want to take a look at your charts, right? If you are okay with me sharing, let me know that. I already knew that J-Lo and Christine Buckingham asked me or said that it was okay. You guys think about that for a minute. I can't do in-depth things. I've got 20 minutes though. And it's been a long time since I've done off-the-cuff little readings like this. So I'm looking forward to this. So J-Lo, L. Lopez. I have to think about that. I call you J-Lo all the time. So it's like, what's your real name? Jacqueline Lopez. And there you are. Okay, so I'm going to bring your chart up. And transit chart. And remember, I'm going to be sharing your charts here on the screen. So make sure you're okay with that too, because people, I'll try to make it so that they don't see the birth information, but sometimes that's successful and other times not so successful. Okay, now. Here we go. Nope, I want that one. Okay, so J-Lo, here's your chart. Now, the first thing we need to do is orient ourselves to the chart, right? Let's find the signs that the full moon and the sun are going to be in. Here's Taurus here, right? This is Taurus. And we also have the sign of Scorpio right opposite it. Right? These are opposite signs because we have a full moon. We have an opposition between sun and moon. So we have the sun over here and we have the moon, or will have the moon over here, both at 4 degrees. So literally that puts your moon on top of Uranus in your natal chart. So you have 0 degrees, Uranus in retrograde, and you are a bit of a hidden rebel. Maybe not so hidden. It's probably dawning on you right now that in some ways in your life, that a part of your experience, because you know, you're sort of at your midlife, or you're coming, you know, you're just past your midlife redirect, right? Your midlife crisis point, that the rest of your life is about like stirring the pot, bringing things up. Your work is healing work by stirring the pot. So at this particular full moon, your natal Uranus is being triggered by the moon. And then, of course, your natal sun being triggered, as well as a bit of your Mercury being triggered because of the sun. And then if we look up here, this is where we'll see Pluto. This is Pluto in this configuration. So the first thing I would like to say is this axis that the sun and moon are across is a very deeply healing axis, both psychologically, spiritually, and physically. So there's a lot of healing energy in opposition here that first comes up. And its way to be expressed comes up to Pluto here in the ninth house, of growth and expansion, of optimism, of expanding or broadening your horizons, choosing to change belief systems. And it's not necessarily your own belief systems. It's possible that you're helping others see their own limiting belief systems, and as an invitation through the gate 41 to imagine themselves without those limitations. And the invitation extends to you as well, you know, and inviting yourself to see beyond those limitations. Okay. I hope that makes sense to you. Now, the 12th house part here with the sun is also possibly bringing up some of those hidden factors. Like, what are some of the hidden unconscious patterns or possibly past life patterns that are locked up in this 12th house with the sun and Mercury? Where is your life force and your ability to communicate locked in a battle with old patterns and unconsciousness that you need to break free from? Okay. Now, also remind everybody too that Saturday we had the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, and they're still very tightly conjunct even during the full moon, even though they're not involved with the full moon by degree. But it is an aspect that is still prompting us to see things differently, right? To innovate, to make the changes that are going to be more progressive and lead us forward rather than staying stuck. J-Lo, I'm going to go back here and see if you have any questions about anything that I just said. She has 41 in her radiance, where Pluto, radiance, what does radiance mean to you? It's where the light shines through you. So the light shines through you at gate 41, imagination and creativity and the expression of your uniqueness or of your ideas that come down into the physical, and Pluto, the invitation to transform all that. So good. All right. So now let me stop sharing your chart. If you have questions, I'll come back to it. Whoops, I got to go back to the chart itself. And I'm going to change now to your chart, Christine. Give me just a moment to make that change. Hold on. Doesn't want to go right to you. It wants me to go through the long list of names. There you are. Okay, and let me share my screen again. Present. And that one. Here we go. So, Christine, so now we have your chart. And what we're looking at here, again, we have the opposition, right? Here's the sign of Taurus. It's your rising sign. So it puts it in the first house in the whole sign system. And the sun right here at basically at your south node. Open invitation to let go of the past or to use your gifts and talents in a new way, to express yourself in a different way. With the moon over here, you have your natal moon in Scorpio. However, what you have at 4 degrees where the moon will be is at your Neptune. So I feel like this is a charge of intuition that's pushing you out into the world in a different way or to be more of yourself, especially if you've been holding stuff back or holding yourself back in some way. This is a call for you to actually release some of that and move outward into the world with your gifts and your talents. The Pluto, the T-square, the point, is at your midheaven. Is there a new career in the offing, right? And your midheaven is conjunct Venus. Is there a new way of making money that's coming up for you or a new relationship that feels very empowering for you? Especially because, you know, the seventh house is packed with planets and it's the house of relationships, marriage or partnerships. It can even be platonic relationships, though, but of a significant quality. And that is juxtaposed by the sun in the first house, making sure that you're letting go of all the things that aren't truly you, letting go of the old experiences that you might have had in relationships that weren't successful or that are holding you back from relationships now, but it's pointing at career and profession, or another way to look at that is your authority, right? Who your authentic self. Are you being authentic in the world or are you not, right? And can you reimagine yourself? There's the reimagine quotient here as well in all of that. One of the other things that's happening this week is Mercury is moving out of retrograde and into forward motion. And Mercury sits right here right now in Aries, along with Chiron, along with Venus, along with the North Node and Eris. So we have this stellium, if you will, of planets in Aries. And with Mercury turning direct in Aries, he'll start moving toward Taurus once more, but solidifying Aries identity, Aries courage, Aries new beginnings, coming out of your 12th house, Christine, where it's been hidden from you, perhaps, or where you've squelched it, and coming into and crossing over into the first house in the next couple of weeks. So I feel like this time period isn't a change that happens all in one day, perhaps, but a transition or a transformation that's taking place over time, over these next couple of weeks. So I hope that's helpful. I would say for you, keep embodying more and more of your authentic self in all of this. Okay. J-Lo, I'm curious, with human design, does it progress at any time? Yes, it does. Because human design is still fairly new on the planet, and because there's not a lot of people as familiar with human design as there is in astrology, I've not really offered out the look at the progressed chart in human design, but it progresses. It has to, because your astrology progresses, right? My progressed sun from 28 Gemini to about 27 Leo, right? So, or 28 Leo, right? 28 Leo. So wherever 28 Leo is in human design, which that's likely going to sit at about gate 29. Oh, that's interesting. It would be about, what am I saying yes to now? Right. So the progression, I think, works in human design as well as it does. I'd love to talk more about that. Maybe that's a class for the future. For those of you who know human design well enough to understand, it's not, it's just an addition to who you are, not who you are. Okay. So good idea. Thank you, J-Lo. Okay. And you're welcome, Christine. Good morning, Terry. And yes, my chart has progressed. Gemini, just finding how. Yeah. Right. So you would take your age. So you know, whatever age you are tomorrow, today, your birthday's probably today, because everybody's birthdays are a day early because we had a leap year this year. So you take that degree that it's progressed to and then translate that to human design, and that will tell you what gate you are in. And with a Gemini gate, it's going to be somewhere on the throat. So it should be that your progressed human design is taking you into speaking more, more of your truth, sharing more of what you learn, teaching, right? I.e. teaching. So that could be what that is for you. All right. What time do I have? 8:54. Let's do one more. Who else wanted me to take a look at their chart? Because I probably passed somebody here. Asa says, me please. Jolie says, hers too. So Jerry, oh gosh, there's so many of you that want me to do this. I got to go back to who asked first. And you're welcome, Christine. North Node. Jerry Thrasher. I am not sure, Jerry or Jer. I'm not sure how to say that. Have I ever done a chart for you? No, I don't see. And that makes it hard because it takes more time for me to do that. So I would love to do that for you someday when I'm doing these readings. Go ahead and send me your information at some point and I can add you to here. So let's look at Jolie. And I'm going to share my screen so everybody can see what we're doing. Okay, so Jolie, when we look at yours here, you have the sun in Taurus in your ninth house of expansiveness, of changing consciousness, of evolving consciousness. So higher consciousness, broadening your horizons, seeing things from a higher perspective, connecting with your higher self. That's the ninth house, which means that the full moon is going to be down here in Scorpio, and you have Neptune at 0 degrees. Somebody else did too. Christine, was it you? And so you also have a very highly spiritual focus with the moon, right? But this is your third house. So it's about what's going on in your mind at the level of the physical realm. And what are you communicating? How are you communicating? Are you communicating? What are you speaking the language of your higher consciousness, or is your higher consciousness still locked into the lower aspects? And I don't mean that as a value statement, because we're all in some, you know, ways evolving in consciousness, and we're all at various levels because that's what we came to Earth to do. So you're having this opportunity to take a look at, you know, what's some of the baggage in your mind that you might want to release through Pluto in this case, which is heading up over here into Aquarius in the sixth house of healing. So to me, this might be a really positive way to look at any healing or health issues, body issues that you have, and how is it related to beliefs you have, to past patterns that you've been engaged with. To where is your focus, right? Are you focused on health and well-being and healing, or are you focused on, I don't feel good, I'm not well, I'm blah, 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 whatever, fill in the blank. So this seems to be a pretty good healing moon for you. And 4 degrees still puts us pretty close to Chiron in your chart. 9 degrees, yeah, Chiron though, this is a healing path you're taking anyway, whether you're healing through your connection to others or helping others in healing crises, or are you dealing with your own healing crises, right? The key is transformation with Pluto at 41. You'll have to be able to imagine yourself as healthy and well if you want to get healthy and well. If you can't imagine yourself as healthy and well, you can't be. I hope that makes sense. And helping others to see that as well, right? That if you're focused on all of the negatives, then that's what you get more of, because it's attractive in force. If you're focused on what you desire instead, which is health or well-being, then that's what you're getting more of too, because it's the focus that drives the experiences that you start to experience or have. All right. Okay. Let's see. Questions. Okay, that is about all I can do there. Let's take a look at cards, shall we? I think I want to pull a Dreamweaver, maybe. Or let's see, who do I want to play with today? This feels like we need a dragon, right? We need a dragon. I've been kind of obsessed with dragons lately. Not just lately, but they're so powerful, right? And when we're in a powerful transformative time like this, I would imagine, oh, it's this one. An orange dragon brings soul families and communities together. Spread belonging, warmth, and oneness. Bring people everywhere together. Orange dragon. And by the way, bringing people together and spreading belonging and warmth in no way takes away from your individuality. It adds to the tapestry. So let's look at the orange dragon. And the orange dragon is a fifth dimensional dragon. And oh my gosh, I just opened right up to it. I was actually on the page for the orange dragon. Fifth dimensional orange dragons emit flames of joy, warmth, and acceptance. They come to us when our orange navel chakra is open, for this indicates that we are ready to spread joy and oneness. As the world moves towards the new golden age, soul families and groups are drawing together. Orange dragons help light people up so that they recognize each other and enjoy a sense of belonging. They bring fifth dimensional communities together. Communities where people cooperate, help each other, and practice harmony and oneness. Many of us need to work with them to bring this about. When you pick this card, your guidance is to see the divine light in everyone. Look for the bonds that link you. The orange dragons will help you to spread their light of warmth, welcome, and acceptance to all peoples, races, and cultures. Let that light shine through you. You will feel a sense of belonging and oneness, and your heart will open. This will help you to develop your abilities of higher manifestation. When you visualize the peoples and animals of the world coming together in harmony and acceptance, orange dragons will flood your vision with their light. Archangel Metatron himself will then take it to energize the planet for Earth, or the plan for Earth, excuse me. So hold the highest vision for the golden age that is being prepared and do your part to bring your community and the world into spiritual accord. This is a message of higher peace. I love it. The orange dragon. Okay. Let's see. Any last questions? looks like a Pokemon Charizard. That's kind of cool. I've been exercising and mindful of my health. That's awesome. So Jolie, then what I would say about the way that I looked at that chart then is that you might start to see the benefits of the work you've been doing that way, right? While you're letting go more and more of the old, okay? The old you, the unhealthy you, right? The boom. Okay, you guys, that is it for me today. I wish I could have done readings for everybody, but of course, if you need a reading, you can go to my website, www.living-astrology.com, and take a look at the different readings I do and get one for yourself. Take care, everybody. And again, happy birthday to J-Lo and Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel and anyone else who's out there on the 23rd or whose birthday is this week. I will see you on Friday. Bye for now.
Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.